This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Our topic is family law and our Valentine's Day program, everybody, using mediation to resolve marital disputes and problems. It's my great pleasure to have family law specialists certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization, Janet Frankel and BJ Fatum. They are both members of the family law section of the California Lawyers Association. This segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and the family law section of the California Lawyers Association. BJ and Janet, great to have you here.
Hello, Chuck.
Hi, Chuck.
Very lovely to have you here. Let's do this. What is mediation? Can you describe it? BJ, let me ask you to start, would you?
Sure. Mediation is a type of alternative dispute resolution. What that means is there an alternative to resolve your divorce issues other than going into court and having a judge decide for you? And it's a little bit different. There's different kinds of alternative dispute resolution. Mediation is one type. Another type would be what we call collaborative law. Another type is using private judging. These are all alternatives to avoid court. In mediation, however, I think you've got the most control over your resolution, at least to a certain extent, where you use a trained mediator to help you negotiate between the two parties to come to some kind of a resolution for the dispute. One of the things that they always say is if both parties walk away from a mediation a little bit unhappy, it's a successful mediation.
So in other words, what we want to do is when we're having problems anyway, we want to be unhappy as we leave mediation. Is that right?
Exactly.
That's wild.
That means that both parties compromised in some way.
Yeah.
So they had to give something up.
Good. And that's
right.
Very important. Let me ask you this, both of you this, and Janet, let me throw this to you if you don't mind. Can going to mediation save parties money as compared to going to court?
Well, it certainly can, Chuck, if it's successful, because you're not spending money litigating and it's very expensive to have attorneys prepare to go to court and be in court, and you're paying an hourly rate the whole time, sometimes for them to be waiting to go to court. A lot happens behind the scenes. Not that it doesn't happen behind the scenes in mediation, but in mediation, it's more, as BJ said, it's more controlled. And the parties are participating and controlling the outcome. And all of the time and energy, or more of the time and energy, can be focused on getting a result that works for the parties. So it can definitely save money if it's successful. The problem is that if you have parties that are not well suited to mediation, you can spend a lot of money and get nowhere.
I mean, in other words, they don't want to compromise. That's parties who are not suited for mediation.
Well,
go ahead. I was just going to say, I mean, if one or both parties are entrenched in their positions and totally inflexible, mediation is going to be very, very difficult and could be very expensive.
Or if parties have, I guess, what you might call unequal bargaining power. You have one party who has always had all of the control and what they say goes, and the other party is a go-alonger or, you know, maybe not as strong of a personality or doesn't have financial wherewithal except for what they get from their spouse, then it's difficult to overcome that inequality to get to a good result. And I think it's even more pronounced when it's a personality issue than it is a financial issue.
Let me ask you this. It is common, even in going to mediation, that each of the parties would have his or her lawyer. Is that right?
Not necessarily. I'm sure Janet can speak to this too, but I've been doing mediation for a long time, and I've had mediations both where the parties are representing themselves and mediations where each or one of the parties have chosen to have an attorney either with them at the mediation or consulting on the side for them. So it's open either way. I mean, it's totally up to the parties how they wish to proceed. I usually recommend, as the mediator, that before they finalize anything, and especially before they sign off on any marital settlement agreement to finalize their divorce, they should at least consult an attorney to go over it with them, because I don't represent either party.
So I think the point I think that BJ is making is a mediator is not, by not representing a party, it means that a mediator is not giving legal advice and not making recommendations.
Because that would be a kind of a conflict of interest, would it not? It would be, you give advice to one party, and that may not be good for the other party, and that's why a mediator can't give legal advice.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this. In the outline, you provided to me a very fine outline of what we're talking about on this program. And one of the things that I found very interesting is, if the mediator is not an attorney, then good luck to you. What does that mean, BJ?
Did I write that?
Did you write that, Janet? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think Janet and I had this conversation. You do not have to be an attorney to hold yourself out there that you are for hire as a mediator for somebody's divorce, as long as you don't say you're an attorney. However, divorce is a legal issue, and we were discussing this, and we both have seen cases come to us after the fact when people have gone to these people who are not attorneys and have either attempted or have what they thought mediated their divorce, and then it cost them twice as much to unwind what was done. You have to be very careful. A divorce has to be resolved under California law, and you got to be very, very careful who you go to.
So while a mediator doesn't give legal advice, a mediator should be able to tell the parties what risks there are of not being able to reach a resolution. For example, what might happen, what the range of possible outcomes would be if they were to go to court and have a third party adjudicate the issue. So by having an attorney be a mediator, and for a divorce, even better, having a family law specialist be the mediator, that means that mediator can let the parties know, here's the range of what might happen if you can't agree. And I like to tell people, it's good to know the range, but you know, you might be that square peg in the round hole. You might need something outside of the range, and as long as you're making an informed decision about what you want to do, you're not stuck within that range, and which I think is another point we were talking about, that the outcome you get at court is limited to what's legally possible, to what a judge can order.
Let me come back to something for just a moment. If I may interrupt you, BJ, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Are you saying that if the mediator is not an attorney, are there people who are representing themselves out there to mediate marital disputes who really have no experience at all, really have no, let's say, no education or knowledge about marital law?
Well, I don't know if they've read books or they've tried to educate themselves on California family law, but they're certainly not attorneys. And again, some of the things I've seen, like if I'm mediating a case, I draft the marital settlement agreement once the parties have come to an agreement. And if it's a non-attorney drafting some of these agreements, I've seen some of them that are unenforceable because they violate California law. A perfect example is where you put into a marital settlement agreement, oh, we agree to waive child support. You can't do that. It may even get rejected when trying to be put through the court with a judgment if it's caught by the clerk or by the judge. So you've got to be very, very careful.
How does the average person who's not an attorney and having some marital problems, how would you suggest, both of you, that they find a private mediator? How should they go about doing this?
Well, I mean, those of us that do mediation, those of us that are family law attorneys that do mediation in family law, advertise. I think, you know, almost everybody goes on the internet. Mm-hmm. And if you go and Google in your area for attorneys who mediate in divorce, I think you're going to get a lot of different people that pop up. Just make sure, though, because with that, it's probably going to catch, if you do a Google like that, it's going to catch some people that aren't non-attorneys. And just really take a look and be careful about looking through it. But like Janet said, she's right. If you're going to mediate a family law case, if you can get a certified specialist or at least somebody that specializes in family law and doesn't really do general practice, that's probably better.
I'm actually a little bit wary of Google searches and advertising.
Are you really?
Myself. I don't advertise. I have a website, mm-hmm. but someone has to know to look for me, I think, to find it. And I think that the best way to find somebody to help you is by word of mouth. You know, talk to your friends, mm-hmm. talk to people at your church or your synagogue, talk to people at your rec center, at the YMCA, people you know, your friends, your family, and get recommendations and referrals. And that is really the best way to find somebody reliable, or at least somebody that somebody else trusts.
I would agree with that. I mean, if that's the best, but if you don't know an attorney or you can't get, you know, people say, I don't know anybody that does family law or mediation, I think that would be second, but you got to be really, really careful.
That's true.
I totally agree with that.
You can also go to the... if you're going to use Google, then I recommend that you go to the State Bar website and do a California Attorney Member search. And if you just Google California Attorney Member search, it'll take you right to that page. And then you can look for certified specialists in whatever area that you need mediated, whether it's family law or something else. And you could search by county. So mm-hmm. then you get a sort of a narrowed down list. It's still no guarantee that it's going to be someone that's a good fit for you.
Or that they do mediation. Some certified specialists don't do mediation.
Exactly.
Well, let me give for the California Board of Legal Specialization certified specialists, there are 11 areas, including the specialty of family law, certified specialization of family law. If you are interested, wherever you are in the state of California, here's the website to try to find an attorney for yourself, www.calbar.ca.gov. That's www.calbar.ca.gov. And go to the upper left corner of your screen. You'll see legal specialists. Click that on. Then click on your county and click on the next thing, which would be family law. And you'll find out who in your county is a family law certified specialist. That's one way of doing it. Let me tell you, everybody, if you tune in a little bit late, who's with us? This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. My guests are very experienced family law certified specialists by the California Board of Legal Specialization. They are also members of the family law section of the California Lawyers Association. And they are Janet Frankel, whose office is in San Francisco. Her last name is spelled Frankel. And my other guest is BJ. Those are his initials. BJ Fadem. Fadem, whose office is in San Jose. Now, let me come back to you for just a moment. What issues can be mediated? For example, if we're not talking about custody or child support or something like that, what other issues, marital disputes or problems can be mediated, if any?
Anything.
Anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
All of it. I mean, if you're lucky, you can mediate your entire divorce and completely resolve it without stepping one foot into court.
The upside is that you can share the information that you want, and you can get an outcome that's governed by what you know you need and you can offer, as opposed to having a judge decide, because no matter how good your attorneys are and no matter how good your case may seem when you go to court, the judge doesn't really know you,
yes.
Doesn't know your family, doesn't know your situation, and is limited by what's in front of it. You know, the court system only has so much time and energy it can spend on something.
There are lots and lots of cases. That's one of the problems, isn't it?
There's lots
right.
and lots of cases.
Plus, it could take longer to get to court to even get a judge to resolve your case. You can do it much quicker if you can do it with mediation. But even more, especially with the financial, I've been able to get a little bit more creative for people when we mediate, that a judge would not have authority under the law to order. A perfect example would be like if there's a family residence and one party wants to stay in the house but can't afford to completely buy out the other party. You can get really creative on how that buyout of the community interest of the house would be. And if you went to court on that, a judge certainly wouldn't and could not order a spouse that's getting a divorce to force them to remain on title just so the other party can stay in the house. But that's something that they certainly can agree on and get creative in a bargain that would be a win-win situation for both.
Before the show, BJ and I were talking about styles of mediation. And so in mediation, you can do something that's based on what are the needs of the parties and what are the abilities of each party to provide for those needs. And you can do whatever works if everybody agrees to it. Obviously, you can't waive child support.
No.
But you can agree to set it at zero.
Yes.
So
what does that mean? You can't agree to set it at zero.
You can. You may. Well, see, because
yes.
child support is not really the right of the parent.
It's
the right
of
the child. So if you agree to set it at zero, then either parent can at any time change it so that it is actually set at whatever the California guideline number is. And it sounds like, you know, there is an actual magic number, and that's the number everybody should use, but that's also very complicated.
Well, let me ask you this, because I'm a little bit puzzled by this. Uh-huh. If one of the parties, and let's just say the father of the child, is the he works, makes the money for the family. The mother does not. If they go to mediation and they agree that child support is zero, isn't that something very difficult here?
If they do that in mediation, they agree?
Yeah.
Well, that agreement would have to be based on something. It would have to mean that somehow the mother is able to support the child or children
right.
during her time with them.
Mm-hmm. And that would be a good mediator. I know what I would do is if parties came into me with that scenario and was saying, oh, she's agreed that there would be no child support. As a mediator, I would just make sure I explore that to make sure that, as Janet was pointing out before, there's no uneven bargaining power or somebody's trying to control or maybe assert a little bit more control or power, that this is something I don't want to set them up for failure. And it may be a situation where mom, even though she doesn't work, is going to get a substantial estate or is going to be able to financially care for the child, at least at that point in time, mm-hmm. without having any further child support from father.
What if the parties, the parents of the child or children, decide that for whatever reason, whether they can't afford it or they don't want to have each of them have a separate lawyer, what if they go to mediation, let's say with a certified specialist in family law as the mediator, who is not permitted to give legal advice under the law, under California law? What are the problems there? In other words, neither party has his or her attorney, but they're dealing with a mediator who is a certified specialist in family law. What's the problem there, and could you talk about that, Janet?
Well, like, the mediator could explain what the range of outcomes is and what the law provides. It's not that a mediator who is a lawyer who's a certified specialist can't tell the parties what the law is.
Okay.
They can tell them what the law is. They can explain what their duties and obligations are under the law. They just can't make a recommendation, say, well, I recommend you take this deal. This
I
is
see.
Good for
okay.
you.
Okay. That explains it.
Right. And I think the difference is giving legal advice or in an advocate way is the difference.
Well, very good. Pardon me, Janet, you wanted to say something further, I think.
I was going to say that it's not completely out of the question, in fact, far from it, for parties to hire someone who is a non-attorney mediator to help them resolve things. I feel that I have to recommend against it because I don't know that those people would get adequate explanations of what their rights and duties are, for mm-hmm. example, or actually be making informed decisions. However, if they know what they want to do and they want someone to help them get to yes mm-hmm. on a couple of issues, mm-hmm. and they hire someone who is just, you know, Joe Black mediator, not a certified specialist, maybe not even an attorney, and they reach an agreement, I would just suggest that they do find some way to get a consultation with an attorney before they sign to make
look
sure
over
that,
the proposed agreement.
Just to make sure that it's something that will be upheld by the courts and that makes sense for them and that doesn't fall outside the parameters of, you know, crazy.
Assuming that the parties go with the mediator, they have a proposed settlement. And let's say they get to the point that they have signed the settlement agreement, the mediation agreement. Is this something that has to be submitted to the court? Does the court look over this to determine that this is in compliance with California law? What role does the court play in this? Because you can't just have, and correct me, I'm not a family lawyer, but you can't just mediate all your marital problems and have a divorce on paper without having a court issue a dissolution of marriage. Isn't that correct?
That's true. But in family law, it's all forms. You can actually have an entire judgment done on forms. So if you check all the right boxes, you can have it done.
So are you saying then, if you check all the right boxes, that a judge, a family court judge, is not going to look at this and make sure that it complies with California law?
Well, if you have checked all the right boxes, then it does comply
does
with
it?
California
really?
Law.
So you can then...
But it's not quite that simple, but I can hear you protesting, BJ.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, it depends on what the issues are. So, for example, I mean, a lot of the cases... a marital settlement agreement is drafted to incorporate into that judgment, that judicial form. And I see by county by county. So, for example, in the marital settlement agreement, one of the things you have to be careful of is if you're going to be addressing what we call permanent spousal support, that you have to address it and identify under the family code 4320 factors. And I've had where it's been... If it's not in there in the marital settlement agreement, it's been rejected and sent back, the whole judgment packet.
Mm-hmm.
Some, I'm sure, fly under the radar and they go ahead, but certain counties, the clerks for the judges themselves, before the judge signs it, will flip through it and they'll send it back saying, you know, the spousal support isn't adequate, we're sending it back.
It's not supposed to be able to get through, but...
Often it does
just fly, as BJ says, fly under the radar.
Is it because the courts are so busy?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it.
That yeah,
General human error.
Yeah.
You know,
no one is perfect.
Right. Except for you, Chuck.
Yeah. And
except me.
On Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you very much. By the way, everybody, this is Your Legal Rights, and I want to invite you, if you have questions about family law, here is our toll-free number, 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. What I have found in doing family law programs is that some people are very reluctant to call in because they are afraid that their spouse is going to recognize them by name. So please, if you are going to call in, feel comfortable to use a phony name. And that way, at least you'll have a chance to talk with my guests, ask your question, or make your comment. And so I hope you will take advantage of it. It's toll-free, 866-798-8255. Again, my guests are B.J. Fadem, spelled F-A-D-E-M, and Janet Frankel, last name F-R-A-N-K-E-L. And please take advantage of the fact that we're going to get to you in just a minute. And let's start, actually, with Denise. Welcome to the program. Denise, are you there, dear?
Hello.
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question. Okay, 3 years ago, well, I had a stroke 15 years ago. My right side's paralyzed. I came down from Sacramento to Concord, California to help take care of my brother. He was very ill. He passed away last month, and I'm having a problem. He left me a little bit of money. I'm having a problem with the bank. The bank is saying there's a fraudulent claim because he left me some money, and we deposited the check the day before he died.
Mm.
So I'm not sure what I have to do. It was under, you know, it's $40,000, and I'm not. They said I have to go through probate and go through an affidavit with the court. I'm not sure what I have to do.
Well, I don't think this is really a family law issue, but Denise, what county are you in?
I'm in Concord, California. Concord,
yeah,
Washington,
yeah. My suggestion to you would be to Concord is what county?
Contra Costa.
Denise, I take it you have not contacted the lawyer referral service for Contra Costa County?
Yes, I have, actually. They're supposed to be calling me back with an appointment.
Yeah, I think it would be very wise for you to start by having a half an hour consultation with probably an attorney who has experience in dealing with wills, estates, etc. Frankly, and you correct me, Janet and BJ, if I'm wrong on this, I would not want to have this kind of an issue with a family lawyer, because I think this is really an estate planning. It's a probate matter, this kind of possible probate matter.
Okay.
And it'll probably, for a half an hour consultation to get your basic rights and obligations, you'll probably pay $35, I believe.
Right. I already paid that over the phone.
You have.
Oh, good.
So.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. So. And by the way, Denise,
yes.
If you do not feel comfortable with the attorney who they assigned to you, and you're going to have to see this person probably in his or her office. Certainly, if you're not comfortable with what that person has told you, if for some reason you have a bad feeling about it, get back to the lawyer referral service for Contra Costa County and see if you can't get an appointment with another attorney.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's my best advice for you.
Okay, thank you for your
advice. Hey, thank you very much for calling, and good luck to you. And
good
we have
you. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. And Mary, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is that I have a shared child with a person we've never been married. He originally was having hesitations about me having the child, and now has sparked an interest in in taking me to court to get legal visitation rights, because I, over the past, since about January, have felt like I wasn't comfortable with him taking our son out.
How old is your son, Mary?
Four and a half.
Four and a half. Okay, go ahead.
But my question is, like, his name's not on the birth certificate, but he's been, you know, I've been trying to keep him involved in our son's life. But now he's sort of threatening me to take me to court and you know, go through the whole process so that he has legal rights.
What county are you in?
San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should be too afraid of going to court. One of the things that happens on custody, I take it something happened in January to make you change your plan about sharing the custody with him?
Yes, he didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, we had some issues, and I felt really uncomfortable.
Hmm.
So one of the things that happens when you go to court on a custody issue is, especially in San Francisco, is the first thing that happens is you go to an orientation that teaches you about how to parent a child together with somebody. And then you go from that orientation, you go to a mediation. And in every county that where custody and visitation comes up, the first thing you do before you have a court hearing, before a judge actually decides anything, is you will meet with a family court services mediator. So you will be doing mandatory mediation.
Under California law for custody, it's mandatory under California law.
Exactly.
Okay. Correct. The court's not allowed to make any custody orders, long-term custody orders, absent temporary emergency orders, until the parties have attended mediation. But I also heard you say that he's not on the birth certificate, so I think it would be worth it to consult with an attorney about presumptive parent. He's 4 years old. Was there a declaration of paternity signed at the hospital? I mean, it sounds like there's some other issues that I think it would be in your benefit to talk with an attorney to just get more information regarding the parentage issue.
Okay, but does he have, I mean, no, he's never actually done anything legal to declare, you know, his rights.
Right.
But it also sounds like he's acknowledged the child. He's been, I don't know how much, if he's taken the child into his home or held him out. I think there's some legal issues that need to be explored under the family code as to whether or not he can be deemed a presumptive or legal parent. But I think it's well worth, if he's planning to go into court, you might want to just talk with an attorney regarding the parentage issues.
Okay.
As far as the mediation aspect of it, when you go to San Francisco, the Family Court Services mediators are all trained in these issues, and if you have concerns, that's where you will raise them. And San Francisco is not a recommending county.
What does that mean, not a recommend? What does that mean?
It means that the mediator, the court mediator from Family Court Services, won't make a recommendation if you don't reach an agreement, Mary. They will only write up your agreement if you have an agreement. Otherwise, what they'll do is, I guess, what's called a disposition, saying this is what Mary wants, this is what the dad wants, and they reached an agreement on this tiny little thing, but otherwise they have no agreement and they need the court to make a decision.
Yeah.
So other counties will make recommendations, but you're in San Francisco, so you have whatever you say in mediation, if it doesn't result in an agreement, is confidential, and the mediator doesn't share any of that with the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Earlier in the program, I was listening to you talk about just resolving things with an outside mediator. Is that something that I could do in this case?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You can go to a mediator privately, and that will comply with California state law to mediate your custody. It just says that you have to mediate it. I've mediated the custody issues either alone or with the financial issues, and sometimes in really high conflict custody cases, I may even sometimes bring in a licensed marriage and family therapist to assist in mediating the custody and visitation issues.
But the mediation requires that both parties, both parents, be there for the mediation, does it not?
You can actually caucus. If you're uncomfortable being in the same room, you can.
Well,
you would both be there, but you don't have to be in the room.
But both have to participate in the mediation some way. Either if there's a caucus out, you don't want to be in the same room with the other party, but both have to be involved. You can't just do it by one party, like, for example, Mary doing it all on her own without the so-called father being involved. Is that right?
That's right. Then it wouldn't be mediation if
yeah.
it was just one side.
Yeah. Does that help you, Mary?
It does. I have one more question about child support issues that come out of this. He was helping a little bit with paying for daycare and hasn't made any efforts whatsoever. In fact, owes me money at this point.
Do you have an order for child support?
I don't.
Okay,
no.
So I didn't think you did based on what you were saying earlier, but that's something that you could also mediate, and you would certainly make that part of any court proceeding. I would say that that's an issue that you would want to have resolved at the same time, and the court can resolve that too if you can't work things out. I would suggest, though, that what you can do to prepare for whatever might be coming down the line is sort of sit down with yourself or with, you know, just make a list of ways that you think that he might be able to see your 4.5-year-old that make you feel safe, ways that might work, things that he might do that would make it okay for you, and have that sort of as a list of things in mind. And that's if you met with someone who was a trained marriage and family therapist, for example, they might help you come up with some ideas that you haven't thought of.
Right. So he doesn't have an income, and I do make money. There's no way that I would have to pay anything to him, right? Because we were never married or anything like that.
You can go online, and I'm not sure of the exact website, but the state has a child support calculator, and you can put in all of the information. If you just Google California State Child Support Calculator, you'll find it. You put in all the information, put in whatever time he does spend with the child as a percentage, whether it's 2%, 20%, put in what you think the income is. You can play with that and see what the results might be.
Okay, that's great.
Okay, Mary, thank you very much for calling, and good luck to you.
Thank you all for your time.
Take care now. Support
Bye-bye.
For KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the Bar Association of San Francisco, it's 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service, and that number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. I'm a great believer in persons who need legal services using, at least to begin with, lawyer referral services. And this is something available throughout California. We're going to do a program next week on lawyer referral services, which are offered by bar associations throughout California. And essentially what it is, wherever you may be, you can call your own bar association, ask for the lawyer referral service, tell them what the problem is, and they'll line you up with an attorney who's experienced in the area that you're having the problem with some minor exception. for a half an hour consultation in California, they'll pay something like $25 to $35 for that initial consultation. It's a great way to learn how to actually what your rights and obligations may be. So here's our toll-free number again if you'd like to call in, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. In that, Janet and BJ, California law requires when there's a custody dispute that mediation of custody disputes is mandatory under California law. And you're dealing with court mediators. Are these mediators, would, for example, if Mary wanted to have this mediation done through the court mediators, would she and or her or the father of the child have to pay the court mediators or not?
No. It's the mediation through Family Court Services is free, but as Janet pointed out, depending upon the county, some counties are recommending and some are confidential, non-recommending. So it's another reason why you may want to entertain private mediation in some cases, but you need to find out what county you're in and whether or not it's recommending or not.
And by free, that means you don't pay additional money to go meet with the mediator, but there are court fees affiliated with getting the court involved for filing a motion for getting a hearing on calendar.
By the way, everyone, in case you're interested in listening to the entire program again, Your Legal Rights is available as a podcast free of charge at this website, www.kalw.org/subscribe, www.kalw.org/subscribe. And again, please, if you have a question, a comment, a problem, in the family law area, use a fictitious name if you like, if you feel more comfortable with that, but join us. Don't wait until the last 5 minutes of the program because it'll then be too late. So join us. If you're comfortable enough to make the call, ask your question, make your comment, see what my guests may have to say. And it's 866-798-8255. What have we, Janet and BJ, what have we not even touched upon at this point that you'd like to mention before we take our next call?
Well, I was thinking about how we spent a lot of time talking about how to hire a mediator, how to find a mediator, many mediator attorneys only do mediation, and some only do litigation, but some, like I think BJ and I know myself, do both. We do a little bit of both. So in that case, if someone calls and wants to meet with an attorney but really wants a mediator, that's something that I have to clarify at first in the intake process, because once I've met with someone as a representing attorney, it's very difficult to change, to sort of switch hats.
To now be a mediator. Yeah, I can understand that. There's a conflict, is there not?
There's a conflict because advice has already been given. Maybe some sympathies have already been aligned with the sympathetic client. And in order to, it's not impossible for such an attorney to then be a mediator for both parties, but it is not easy because you have to get them to sign a waiver, and I usually have to tell the person who I met with first, well, I'm going to now have to disclose everything you told me
to the other
person.
And, to the other side, yeah.
And
right.
And the two people sitting there, me and that potential client, both know that that's not a good idea, so...
So the warning is then, please, if you are going to be looking for either an attorney or a mediator, to make it very clear what you are looking for when you make those calls. Brianna, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for tonight. I just have a question. So I am a survivor of domestic violence, and I have custody of my child as a result of that. I'm currently separated and also going through a divorce process. But the individual is not even in the country anymore, and they never responded to the... what's it called? I didn't serve, but he never responded in writing or in any way, you know, to the court about the divorce case. And my question is this. So I just, you know, trying to figure out, like, what is the right of this person? Like, to go through this divorce process, would they have right to, like, support, to spousal support? Because I do have from my retirement, from work that I've been, you know, worked for over, you know, for such a long time, I have, you know, benefits, and I'm just trying to figure out what the process is and what rights this individual has as a result of this unfortunate event. And also, you know, should I go through a mediator? I'm not a mediator, but should I go through and try to complete this process myself, you know, as a default? Or should I seek the, you know, legal counsel, you know, and I don't have that much income. I'm just trying to figure out, like, what the best option is.
Brianna, where did the father of the child go? What country is he in now?
It's in an African country.
African country. And, okay.
And were you married to the...
Yes, we're legally married. It's recognized, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you've already served him and... He hasn't responded, and it's been at least 30 days since.
Oh, it's been more. It's been since June.
Uh-huh.
Well, right now. Mm-hmm.
Well, you certainly can't mediate because he's not participating.
No.
but you can certainly pursue a default. What county do you reside in?
San Francisco, but the event happened in Fresno County.
Where did you file, in San Francisco or down in Fresno?
Fresno.
Okay.
Fresno
does, every county has a family law facilitator's office. It's a family law clinic run by attorneys to help people represent themselves in the divorce process. They can certainly assist you in filling out the forms that you need to request a default. If he hasn't responded, it sounds like he's not going to participate at this point.
Right.
When one party does that, there's not a whole lot you can do other than to go and pursue the default so that you can at least get your divorce decree. Otherwise, everything's just going to hang there.
Right.
So I in the family court, facilitators is free. They can't give you legal advice, but they can certainly assist in filling out those forms. And it sounds like your next step is to request a default at this stage.
I think that that's a really good idea, BJ. I had two thoughts. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So the first thought was that if you are a domestic violence survivor at the hands of this person, to answer your question about support, there's a California law, there's a statute that says that a domestic violence survivors shouldn't have to pay their abuser spousal support. And it's, you know, it's like any other law, it all depends on the facts. But so that would be in your favor and something that might give you some comfort that you could think about.
Where should Brianna, Brianna, you have filed your divorce in Fresno County, is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in terms of but Brianna, you live in San Francisco, is that correct?
As a result, yes, I did relocate, you know, with all the craziness. Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Started afresh.
And let me ask you, BJ and Janet, to me it sounds like there's enough here that she needs to confer with a family law specialist to try to give her the right direction, in my opinion. She doesn't want to handle this thing on her own. Who should she look for, an attorney in San Francisco, or do you think because the petition for divorce is in Fresno County, she should try to find an attorney there?
I would stay in Fresno County to finish it up at this point instead of trying to transfer everything to San Francisco. I think it would just, she'd have to pay the transfer fees and filing fees again in San Francisco County, it seems like if she already established residency and has it down there, especially if it's just going into a default. I don't know, Janet, do you agree? I think it seems more practical for her to just get it wrapped up in Fresno County.
I do agree that she should get her default. And just to be clear, Brianna, by default, it's sort of like you have a tennis match and only one person has showed up. And so you win by default. So you're just going to get your judgment. And it doesn't sound to me like it's likely at all that he will ever show up to this divorce. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I'm not expecting that. I was just really concerned about, like, you know, the rights of, I mean, his rights,
right,
as well as his right to, because part of what I want to consider, because I just don't want to feel like I don't want to keep this person responsible, but, you know, for child support, like,
right,
if I'm requesting something, would the court, you know, would it drag this because he's not physically here? Should I even bother, or should I just, you know, just get it over with? I just want to make the right decision.
I agree with BJ that you want to get it done. You want to get the default done. You want to get a judgment done in Fresno. And the reason is because that's where it started, and it's complicated to change venue to San Francisco. However, I think what Chuck was asking is, can she hire a San Francisco attorney to help her get the default in Fresno?
Or a Fresno attorney.
And I think you can hire a San Francisco attorney. You don't want to be traveling back and forth to Fresno just to talk to your lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Since you know, things can be done by mail and electronically, you certainly could call the San Francisco Bar Association for to see if you can get an attorney to help you with a default in Fresno. You could also call around and find someone in Fresno and even meet with them via Skype or something and get it done.
Brianna, did you get the phone number for the Bar Association of San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service?
No, I was driving. I just parked the car.
Let me give you the number, and you can give them a call. It's 415. Do you have something to write with, by the way?
Yes, I do now.
All right. It's area code 415-989-1616. 415-989-1616 is the Lawyer Referral Service number of the Bar Association of San Francisco. It's very important that you do get some very basic information about your rights and obligations. As Janet says, it makes sense to try to get legal advice here in San Francisco as opposed to your having to travel to Fresno, et cetera.
The only other thing I would put in there regarding Fresno is a local Fresno attorney may know the process down there a little bit better and can maybe get the default run through a little bit easier. It all depends.
That's true.
Since you can talk to your attorney by Skype or on telephone, I mean, you don't have to, unless you feel more comfortable sitting in front of an attorney, then, yeah, you probably want to get a San Francisco attorney. But you might want to just try by telephone first, because a local attorney will just know the court process a little bit better and may be able to process your default quicker.
That makes good sense. Would you recommend then, both Janet and BJ, would you recommend to Brianna that if she is going to get initially with an attorney in Fresno, that she call the Lawyer Referral Service for the Fresno Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service, or what?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
You would?
Okay. Absolutely, yes.
There you go, Brianna. So hopefully
you
follow through, and hopefully you'll have good luck.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, everyone.
Connie, you're the last one on the program. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
Hi.
So I've been married 17 years. In September, I left. And I went from paying $1,200 a month in rent to $2,100 a month in rent. And in the marriage, we always kept separate accounts because he never wanted to have joint bank account. So he has accounts, and and he worked most of the time. I only recently back got on my feet again to get a full-time job after about 7 years of being on and off from work because I had a child, et cetera. I had a whole life change. Anyways, so my question is, so I just left. I'm finally getting my feet on the ground. I want to know if I should start filing for divorce sooner rather than later. We have one child, 50-50. I get him 1 week, he gets him the other week. So I'm just kind of figuring, I want to think about the timeline and start doing the paperwork.
We have 1 minute left in the program. Janet, do you want to respond first?
I would say that before you file anything, Connie, what you want to do is talk to someone about the more specifics of your situation than we have time to go into
yes,
now.
Yes, we do not, unfortunately.
But you want to definitely talk to an attorney and consider filing and do it strategically and decide whether you are able to mediate maybe instead of having to really fight about it in court. That's my comment. Talk to someone first.
BJ, do you have any comments?
I would echo that. I do that all the time. People come to me before they file and go through the planning stages, and I do agree that you might be able to mediate it before you get mired into the conflict in the court system.
It sounds like you've already mediated the tough part, which is the custody, which I know that doesn't sound like it's the tough part, but...
It was easy. That part was easy. Actually, easy.
That's usually the toughest.
It has me worried is about the money because he has accounts that I don't know of. So I have, or some scant knowledge of accounts. So.
Well, you know, according to California law, he would have to disclose those, and you have the right to find them out. So. Not to worry, and you can go talk to an attorney and get started on finding out what you need to know.
Connie, we're about, just about ended the program. What county are you in?
Alameda County.
Are you Alameda? Okay. Alameda County, very quickly, I think you might want to call the lawyer referral service there if you want, and that's 510-302-2222. Thank you for calling. We've come to the end of the program. I want to thank you very much, my family law specialist certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization and members of the family law section of the California Lawyers Association, Janet Frankel and BJ Fatum. Thank you very much for joining us. Great to have you on the program.
Thank you, Chuck. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody, by the way. Our next program will be on lawyer referral services and the value for consumers of lawyer referral services offered by county bar associations throughout California. Our guests will be representatives of the San Mateo County Bar Association, the Bar Association of San Francisco, and the Alameda County Bar Association. And Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Mark McClain. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and the Family Law Section of the California Lawyers Association. Additional funding for the program is made possible by the Labor and Employment and Trust and Estate Section of the California Lawyers Association. Thank you for listening to Your Legal Rights, and I hope you join us next time on your public radio station. I'm Chuck Finney.